Romans chapter 1, the great doctrinal book in the New Testament, is the book of Romans. They're all doctrinal, but this is a particularly powerful book that really delineates the doctrine of the church. It's a wonderful book written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In this book, Paul talks about the fall of man from a theistic position to a polytheistic position, even pantheism. How man moved away from that. Evolution says just the opposite, that man worshiped many gods, and then that he eventually worships one God. That's not true. Man started out theistic. They worshiped one God. Adam and Eve worshiped one God. Man in their sin moved away from that, started making gods of their own imagination. In fact, they began worshiping gods made to look like animals, bugs, creeping things. Paul gets down to verse number 13. And he's going to tell us about his desire. Let me ask you a question. Are you in debt? Debts, financial debt is a bad thing. Amen? Amen. Not a good thing. But Paul talks about debt here. Not financial debt. But a debt of hope, a debt of responsibility, a debt to all those who had not yet heard the gospel. And he focuses on the city of Rome. Paul had, as far as we can tell, not been to Rome by the writing of Romans 1. He had not been to Rome. He eventually ended up in Rome. But he's writing this letter to let them know that he desires to come to them. Beginning at verse 13, listen to what he says. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you to Rome, but was led hitherto." I was held back. I couldn't go. There was some reason that I couldn't come. Maybe he's in prison. He said, "I wanted to come that I might have some fruit among you, some spiritual fruit that could be shared." Not only that, but that people would come to Christ. That's the thought there. "Even among other Gentiles." Paul always said to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the early apostles. Always took the gospel to the Jews first. Then they moved it to the Greeks. Especially after the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter got his vision from God that told him that the Greeks were also other than the Jews. When the word Greek is used, just those two words together, it really implies everybody else other than a Jew. But Paul delineates it even greater here. He goes on to say, "I am a debtor." There's that debt. "I am a debtor," both are at the same time, "to the Greeks." Now, when that word is used in this context, there are four categories, and the first one is Greeks. He's talking about Gentiles who are socially refined, upper crust, those that today make more than $250,000. That's the ones he's talking about. They were people that would have owned property, people that would have been in some area of leadership or business, would have been owned a business. Merchants, but they were very refined individuals. He said, I owe a debt to those people. And he says, not only to the Greeks, but he uses the word barbarians. Now today that word means people that are crazy. They attack you. They come to ruin whatever it is that they're going to take. They are barbaric in their activity. Well, that's not what this word meant then. The word barbarian meant a traveler not associated with the city. So these would have been people from other lands who came to Rome to trade for merchandise, to sell, to shop, to visit, or travel through. And there were thousands upon thousands of them every day in Rome. Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because I want you to know that the Bible teaches a specific truth. And Paul's covering it here. There's no one that should not get an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen? Amen. So he says, Greeks, barbarians. Then he says, the wise. That would be the intellectuals of the day. The kind that Paul found on Mars Hill in Greece. Those people that were philosophers, writers, teachers of school, academia. They would have a school of philosophy, a school of science, a school of medicine. They were the intellectual men of the day. Bright, wise in the world's understanding of that word. Then he said the unwise. They would be people that were lower class. They did not have a formal education. Not people without value, but just a lower class of people. They weren't formally educated. They may be tradesmen. They may be work on carts. They were people that plied a trade, made baskets, made furniture. Jesus was a tradesman. And so he says, here's the four groups, and if you think about it, everybody in the world will fit into one of those four groups. Everybody will fit into one of those four groups. And so Paul says, I owe everybody I come in contact with a debt. In fact, you could say it this way. I am a debtor. I owe a lot. But not only does this apply to Paul, this applies to you and I. We owe a debt. And let me suggest to you, you will never pay this debt this side of heaven. You will never exhaust the responsibility of the debt. Think with me for a moment. We owe a debt to grace. Songwriter put it this way, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. We owe a debt to grace. If it were not for God's grace, we would be lost. But thanks be to God, he offered us grace. We sang about it this morning. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do something about it, if we could get it our own way, we could go around telling people, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I did this, 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 and this. There's nothing this, 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 and this that you can do to get yourself to heaven. It's by the grace of God. And if you think about it, if it were not for grace, you'd be lost, hopeless and helpless. But thanks be to God for grace. We owe a debt to grace. We owe a debt to God. All God's people said. May I remind you of that incredible verse in the Bible that really capsules the whole gospel in one little verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We owe a debt to God. Every time you get up and take a breath, you owe a debt to God. Norma, would you run and get me a bottle of water? Man, are you fast. Thanks. One time I was preaching in St. Kitts, Upper Cayon, 4,000 feet elevation in July. It was 104 degrees. And I was wearing a suit like an idiot. We got up there to preach in a room that would seat about 25 people comfortably. Seriously. One light bulb in the whole building. That was their church. There were 184 people there. Yeah, that's a problem. Call a crowd. And I got thirsty. I said, somebody bring me a drink of water. So a guy brought in a jug, Jack Daniel's jug, filled with water. I don't know if he washed it out, but I drank it. We owe a debt to God. We owe a debt to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You thought about that? We owe them a debt. How are they going to know? A person gets saved and they're in a church that maybe doesn't teach the gospel or preach the gospel or doesn't make much effort to tell others about Christ. As we're going and showing and doing, we're paying a debt to those people that don't know how, don't know why, don't understand the responsibility. Then I think we owe a debt to the lost, a big, fat debt. That's who Paul's talking about here. We owe a debt to lost men and women, boys and girls around the world, as well as here. So let me just tell you a little bit about this message. Number one, I want to preach to you about our obligation. It's a big obligation. What's the obligation? How is it stated? It's stated as a duty. Verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor. That's my obligation. This statement is not meant to convey one of many duties, but as a sacred obligation, a individual responsibility. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. It's a binding duty. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Isn't that a wonderful passage? It's called the Great Commission. We're to go make disciples. Then we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever God commanded us. And then he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Where to go. He doesn't say when you want to go. He doesn't say if you'd like to go. He didn't say if it's opportunistic for you to go. He didn't say that. He said, go. Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to. How many know what the next two words are? Every creature, every individual. Has the church done that? No. Only one time did they reach the known world. That was under the authority of God as he used 12 apostles. And those people they brought to Christ in their age, after John had died in 96 or so AD, they had given the gospel to the known world. Think of that. 12 men. There are multiplied millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of Christians in the world. And yet 4.33 billion people in the world of 7 billion have never once heard the gospel. Let me say that again. 4.33, 4 1/3 billion people have never heard the gospel. We owe a debt. And it's binding. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Now, in the context of our faith, what does a witness mean? What does a witness do? Don't they have a proclamation? Aren't they supposed to tell others about Jesus? What on earth good is your religion that saved you if we're not concerned enough to tell others that it can save them? What's wrong with our thinking? Are we just comfortable? It's a binding obligation. Not only is it binding, it's a sacred duty. Holy, it's a spiritual principle. It must be done in order to see the lost transformed by the power of God. God chose. He didn't choose to use angels. Could have. To me, that would have been easier. He didn't choose to use miracles. Some were saved because of miracles, but God didn't leave miracles here so people would rush to the church and get saved. That's not what he chose. He chose the use of human instrumentality. He chose to use you and me. Do you realize what an obligation that is? If we're supposed to share the gospel and we do not, how are they going to hear the gospel? How are they going to know? How will they come? You read the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. How shall they hear without a preacher? And there the word preacher doesn't mean someone who stands in the pulpit, but it includes every person that's been saved. And the word preaching here means the good news, the gospel, preaching the truth, telling them about Christ. It's a binding obligation or duty. It's a sacred duty. It's a lifetime duty, all God's people said. Well, when I'm 70, I can quit. Nope. Nope. Well, I don't feel like I should offend someone. Well, I don't either. But let me tell you, the gospel's already an offense. People will tell you things like, I have my own religion. Okay, let me tell you about mine. They might get mad, they might. But if you don't tell them, then you've shirked your responsibility, your duty. Do you know what? When they die, they'll be sorry they didn't listen.
The sad fact is everybody's not going to come to Christ you tell, you witness to. But some will. Amen? That's who you're responsible for. So we have an obligation. Number two, listen to Paul's commitment. I love this phrase in verse 15. He says, so as much as in me is. Don't you like that commitment? I love that phrase. As much as in me is, with every fiber of my being, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this responsibility as I ought to take it. And as much as in me is, I'm going to preach the gospel. And he coursed the known world in 33 or 4 years and told over 2 million people the gospel story. He was thrown in prison for it. He was beaten and left for dead. He was beaten, given 40 stripes, save one, 5 times. He was shipwrecked, snake bit. First he got shipwrecked, then he went on board. He got off board, went on shore, sat around a fire. A viper came out, bit him on the arm, he shook it off, and people called him a god. But what a day that was, amen? First you're shipwrecks, you're in perils of the sea. You swim ashore, barely make it, you get there, you're trying to warm yourself, and a snake bites you. What would you say? I'm done. I'm going back to Tarsus. Enough of this nonsense. Or they beat you to death, and I believe he died when he was beaten, stoned. People wanted to catch him and tear him apart. In fact, they hired a group of 40 men to take an oath that they would not eat, sleep, or do anything until Paul was a dead man. That's hazardous business, amen? I went to share the gospel with a guy. His daughter had come to church, so I went to visit him. He wasn't a very happy man. He said, get the blank off my blank porch. Didn't look like that kind of porch, but that's what he said it was. I stepped back and I said, before I go, can I pray for you? No. Can I tell you something? What? I'd like to tell you about Jesus. No. I started to leave and I said, yes. Got down the bottom of the steps, turned around, went back. Now about this time, some of you are thinking, Pastor's not as bright as I thought he was. So I turned around, he had a shotgun pointed through his screen door at me. Now that's the one time in my life that I really wished a deacon would have been with me. I would have said, well, Bob really wants to tell you something. That's the guy you want to shoot. No. I said, sir, you can shoot me at that gun, but I'm going to go to heaven. You won't. But I love you know how you can. And he ran me off the porch. So I should quit. I should not tell anybody anymore. That was a bad experience. How many would agree with me that's a bad experience? I've been dog bit. I hate big dogs. Especially that if they bite you. I don't hate all big dogs, but I don't like big dogs that bite you. But that's not an excuse. We still have an obligation. It's a commitment. So as much as in me is, I am ready. It's a broad commitment, folks. Listen. It's an inward commitment, driven by my heart, moved by the Holy Spirit. It's an inward commitment. God is tugging on your heart, and you know this as well as I do all the time. How many times have you kind of felt the tug of God or the Holy Spirit whispering to you saying, talk to this person, and you never did. It's an inward commitment. It's an outward commitment to those who need to hear it. All you got to do is go to a mall and you can find thousands of people that need to hear the gospel. Thousands. We had a guy in our church, he used to load up his pockets with gospel tracts and go into the mall, Genesee Valley Mall, and would sit in that mall all day, because he's retired, all day, and hand out tracts, telling people about Christ. In fact, he's there so often, people will actually, if they saw him and they'd been there before, they would go down another thing. Because he wouldn't stop giving tracts out. We owe an inward responsibility commitment. We owe an outward commitment. We owe an upward commitment to God. Amen? Then listen to me very carefully. We owe a downward commitment. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? He was in hell. And he said, please, send Lazarus back from the dead so he can tell my five brothers about Jesus, or they're coming to this place of torment. We owe a debt to those people. Wait a minute. And we owe a debt to those that we failed to share the gospel with. Lady called me on the phone. This is years ago now. It's like it happened yesterday. I've never forgotten this. Never. She said, we don't live in your area, but we're Baptists. I wonder, my husband's in the hospital. He's very sick. I wonder if you'd go and find out if he's saved or not, and if he's not, if you'd witness to him. I said, what hospital? She told me. I said, I'd be glad to do that. Then I got busy. She called me back the next day. Have you gone yet? I said, no, but I'll go today. I'll go today. I got busy and didn't go. Then I finally left late, went over to the hospital, sat down with this man, started to talk to him. About that time, five or six relatives came in. And they just wanted to talk, wondered who I was. I told them who I was. All I had to say to them is, could you give us 15 minutes and then you can have him? But I didn't say a thing. I said, I'll get out of your way, and I left. The next day, the lady called me, said, Pastor, did you get to see my husband? I said, I did. Did he get saved? She said. I said, I didn't get to talk to him. A bunch of folks came in. She said, you never told him. I said, I didn't tell him. She said, he died this morning. I said, what? She said, he died this morning. He died, Pastor. Why didn't you tell him? It's a commitment. We have an inward commitment, an outward commitment, an upward commitment, and a downward commitment. Then lastly, Paul makes an affirmation. Let me say this. If you don't see your obligation, point one, there will never be a commitment, point two. If there's never a commitment, point two, there will never be anything to affirm. Nothing. You will effectively, in your own mind, remove your responsibility. But when you make the affirmation, when you admit your obligation and your commitment to your responsibility, you will make the affirmation. What is the affirmation? I am, verse 16, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do you understand what he's saying there? If you don't share the gospel, you are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's unashamed behavior. He was not ashamed because he knew it could change lives. He knew it. He had seen it happen time and time again. He was not ashamed because it was a divine work. It's called the gospel of Christ. He was not ashamed because it's a powerful message. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul uses that word power of God twice in his epistles. Once here, once in the book of 1 Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. It changes lives. Amen? I was making a visit one time, had a card, and I had a track. Someone gave it to me, and I opened my pocket and remembered I had it. It said, how to get to heaven from Michigan. That's silly, isn't it? Same way you get to heaven from Virginia, but I mean, it just happens to say Michigan. And so I had this card, and it was something, something, something. Anyhow, the numbers. And I saw the address, parked the car, child visited Sunday school. So we went up there to talk to him about letting him ride the bus and other things, and knocked on the door and nobody answered. I knocked again, nobody answered. And then I started looking around. Nobody lived there. They had moved out. In a week, I guess, they moved out. Pretty poor area. And so I knocked again, and by now I'm hammering the door pretty hard. And from the house next to us, two big men, big, looked out the door at me and gave me this look like, you were knocking on our door, we'd tear your head off. And I looked over at him, so I walked next door. I said, do you know if anybody lives at such and such and such an address? Nah, they don't live there, they moved. I said, I had another address. I said, do you know how to get to here? From here to this address. He said, nope. I said, do you know how to get to heaven from here? They went, what? I said, do you know how to get to heaven from here? No. And the biggest guy looked down at the smaller guy and said, but that guy needs to know. Points at him. So I said, would you like to know? He said, yeah, you know, I would. So I started sharing the gospel with him. The big guy said, can I listen to? Of course, I said, absolutely not. You didn't get a chance. No, I didn't tell him that. I said, sure. And I shared the gospel with these two large individuals. And when I finished, they both bowed their head and asked Jesus to save them. All God's people said. Now let me tell you this. I went to the wrong place, didn't find the people, couldn't find the next address, but God interposed and let me help me to fulfill my duty, my debt. And folks, that can only be done by you taking a few minutes of your day as God gives you divine opportunity to tell others about the saving grace of God. We owe a debt. a big one. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Let's do a little internal investigation with honesty in our hearts. How many would say this, Pastor? I'm working at paying my debt. I know that. I'm doing what I need to do. Sometimes I don't, but for the most part, that's my desire and that's what I do. I do share with others. If you're in that situation, would you just slip your hand up? Don't be afraid to do this. Just slip your hand up. Anyone like that? Yes, yes. A few hands. How many say, Pastor? Not me. But today I realize I need to. And so as much as in me is, like the Apostle Paul, I'm ready to preach the gospel to those in Chesterfield, Chester, Richmond, in our general area. Pastor, I want you to pray for me that I'll be careful to work on fulfilling this important, important debt duty. You're in that condition, would you slip your hand up? Let's be honest this morning. All right, several hands. Yes, many hands. Thank the Lord for that. Anyone else? I need to work on that, Pastor. I know I do. Anyone else? Right up, right back down. Lord, thank you for the many hands that were raised. Thank you for their desire to want to share with others the gospel. Lord, help us to be careful as we do that. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.